And I can't tell you what it is, but I just know in my heart that something's being birthed. You know, in week one, I think there was a scripture that we talked about where in order for something to produce, it needs to die. Like a seed, right? Seed dies and it produces something. And that's the sense that I have, that there's a death to realize not just what it, the words, deny self, die to self, God's will, not my will, not just those words, but like in our hearts, like understanding it, knowing it, being excited about dying to self. Can you imagine that? Being excited about saying, wow, I really want to be in God's will. Because I see in there so much victory, so much a blessing, so much kingdom good. And to just have a total change from like, well, you know, I just want to get through life to, no, I don't want to get through life. I'm excited about understanding how to die to my own will and let God take over. I'm excited about that. Just the mindset, you know how the Bible says, renewing of your mind. And that's part of it. Where before we used to just kind of want to get by, and now it's like, Lord, if no, whatever I want need to do, I want to be in your will. I'm excited about this and serving and going out there, and because God's gonna bless us bountifully. So let's go right into it. Today's kind of a short one because we're gonna have a little more prayer and discussion and that. So today's a shorter version of what we've been doing and a lot of recap, but I wanna just see where God leads us. So let's get right into it. Here we go, gentlemen, if you'll help me hand these out. Praise the Lord. Service ministry. All right. So this is like the summary of what we've been doing in a sense, and I added a few new things. Everything that's new is in bold there, so you know. But I wanted to make sure we just slowly recapped and then went right into a quick last step. Thank you. Okay. So what is ministry? Everybody knows. You already know all this, so... on Sunday when I say who was in the class and you raise your hand and I say what is ministry and I'm going to ask these questions, all of you are going to be like boom, 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 right? Okay, because we've reviewed them four times. And who is called to minister? Everyone. I like to use words like everyone, always, absolutely. Who has given you the ministry? God. What does God really want from you? Everything. I love the everything. And I'm excited to give it to him, right? Because I know that that's a life of victory and of greatness, really. You know, it's kind of hard. You know, we're supposed to be humble. But the truth is that service ministry and denying self and all that leads to greatness in his kingdom. So it's okay to want the best for your life. Right? That's not pride in the sense of selfish pride. We are to be proud of who we are in Christ, right? So pride can be used positively and negatively. But be proud that you're called to greatness. Nothing to be, we're called to be great. But greatness, Jesus was very clear, greatness comes those who serve, those who are in it. To serve the kingdom. So he wants everything. Do you have a spiritual gift? Absolutely. That's the word. Absolutely. That's a harder one, right? To remember. Absolutely. And here's a new one. When do I start to do work and use my spiritual gifts? Today. Right? Today. It doesn't matter if the pastor assigned you something. It doesn't matter. You start, okay, I'm going to start using my gift. Maybe some of you have a gift that you just believe, you just have this belief that other people don't seem to have, but you have faith, right? You just start putting that into practice and watch God do amazing. Whatever the gift is, you don't have to wait for an official order, or right? You start using these, and you'll see that as you begin to use them, God gives you more. And the thing is that when you use them, nobody may ever know. Nobody may ever know you're praying for somebody, believing for something, a miracle, right? Nobody may ever know. That doesn't matter. So you can start now. So just be intentional, right? What am I going to do? How am I going to put this into practice? If you are not sure how, maybe you're like, okay, well, I want to, don't hesitate to talk to me and say, Pastor, I'd like to meet and talk about this. And we'll talk about it. So that's always an option. If you're like, okay, I don't know where to start, you can always talk to me about it. And we'll talk. We'll definitely get on the journey. So, because my responsibility is to guide you to your calling, right? It's not to pick your calling. It's not to pick your gifts. That doesn't work. God's given you that. But you'll begin to see what they are, because you'll begin to notice that people say, well, you do that well. Well, you organize that well. Or when you talk, it comes across sincere. You know, there are people who try to praise somebody and it just doesn't come out sincere, right? And other people do, you know, that exhortation gift, right? Exhorting people. So that's my responsibility, is to guide you to your calling. So the food for thought, you know these as well. So important that we all understand these. The process of serving, denying self, all of this we've been talking about, is never more important than your closet time. Never more important than just getting on your knees and saying, Jesus, change me. Jesus, lead me. Guide me. That daily. Nothing is more important than that. You can be the most creative speaker, the best musician, the best, and all this for the Lord, and you're awesome, and people love it, and none of that is more important than that closet time, that relationship with God. So I think we talked about that in week one too, about even ministers being so busy in the ministry they forget to stay connected to the vine. Right? What good is that? And this is also important. No matter what you do, you might fail. You might put your heart into something and you might fail. Don't ever worry about success or failure. I know that's hard. We're human beings, right? I can't believe I put my heart into that. It just collapsed. And it's just not working. And I try and I... The success and failure is not your responsibility as long as you're in the closet. Remember, we talked about that. Sometimes failure is part of your growing up. Sometimes how you handle it, right? So, I take the pressure off of you. It's God's kingdom, not ours. It's His work, not ours, right? We just need to keep the main thing, and Jesus will do the rest. So, I hope you have these thoughts in your spirit, these food for thoughts, and that you do not try to fit God into your life story. When you start working for the Lord and doing different things in church or whatever your gifts are, don't try to make God squeeze into what you do best. Right? Just go with what works. Pray. God will lead you. God will guide you. And He will, along the journey, you will hit an uncomfortable patch. An uncomfortable situation. But it is God. And you'll know in your spirit, well, I don't know if I want to do this, to commit to this. I got to do this. But you just down in your heart, you know it's God. I would be shocked. You know, it would probably not be God if what He asked you to do was not challenging. Right? That's how we grow. But you'll know in your heart. You are the only one equipped. You have a calling. You are the only one equipped to accomplish it. No one else can. You may not be able to. What am I? You are called to do something no one else can do, to impact the kingdom of God. And that is truth, and it's amazing because God's kingdom is so big and we're so small, and yet whatever He has planned for you and His calling in your life, it's power. It's powerful. It's not to be taken lightly. Like, the Bible's very clear about the body, the parts, right? The different parts. No one part is more important than the other. Pastors are not more important than people who help and serve and give the pastor time to do other stuff. There is no... I know in heaven you're going to see pastors that weren't following God's will in heaven. The order is going to be reversed. For those who, even though it was small in the world's eyes, but they were faithful in everything that they did. And that kingdom is when that's eternity. This is just temporary. That's where it matters. Right? That's where it's going to matter. And everything's going to be according to His rewards for faithfulness. So, don't ever be too impressed with people in positions. Impress as human beings, but always honor and respect the authority and the order God puts in place. Right? That's very important. You know, accountability. You know, just because you're accountable, you know, like to pastor, and oh, you know, people feel accountable. They'll say like, oh, I can't make it, and I need to let the pastor know, right? To this or to that. That sense of accountability is not because the pastor is better or knows more. It's because it's an order, right? It's just God's a God of order. So be accountable. Do it not because the person deserves that, because none of us do, but just because it's God's order, right? Same thing with husbands and wives, right? It's not because the husband is more spiritual and no, it's because God's a God of order as far as leading the home and things like that. Same concept. God is a God of order. You will never know your full potential until you step out of the boat and be a little uncomfortable and begin to do the work. Begin to do the work. You will never know your full potential till you do it. Till you get out. And get out of your comfort zone and say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm going to go. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do a little something that I didn't do before. Commit here, commit there, and start serving in different areas and helping people. And that's how it begins. Stepping out of that boat, getting a little uncomfortable. And I've been referencing this word that Rose gave a few weeks back before we started. And that was a word about stepping into the river. It's a little uncomfortable, a little cold, right? And it was really like confirmation to some of you. You're going to step, you're already done it just by coming. And some of you have been coming, but there's, you know, you don't want to go through the motions, right? You want to step in to His service. And the attitude behind your service is important too. So that's, you will never know. You'll never know. You know how we keep saying God's got a great plan for your life, an amazing plan for your life, but you'll never know if you don't begin to step out of the boat. You just begin to step out of the boat. And then he'll start convicting you. And you know, I was able to listen to Michelle's testimony before we started the the classes and how she mentioned how, you know, as she was slowly stepping out into service more and more, you know, there was a lot of conviction, about what you're doing, you know, and back then, I'm sure it was more like, well, struggle, but I'm sure she looks back now and says, like, it's a no-brainer. It was so awesome. I'm so glad that I made those choices and that I see God doing amazing things. And that's the way it is with walking with the Lord. The source behind your gift is always the power of the Holy Spirit. The source behind the gift that you have and the gift that God's given you, it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Right? And you'll find this power in the closet. You will not find this power just because, right? God's a sovereign God. He can distribute His empowered Holy Spirit wherever He wants, whoever He wants, even the donkey, right? In the Old Testament. Yeah. So that's just God, right? But in our gifting, know that the true source is the Holy Spirit, and that comes from what I said at the very beginning, the daily relationship with God, the closet, as we call it. Because Jesus said, right, get in the closet. That's why we call it the closet. That's where the power comes from. So whatever gifting you have, you begin to use it for the Lord. That's why that number one is so important. The number one food for thought. You begin to use the gift and you have this power behind it that's not yours, but from God, it begins to impact the gates of hell in a serious way. And the gates of hell doesn't like it, right? The gates of hell wants to distract. But you begin to use this and grow. And you see God move. And there's always a danger. That's why number one, I don't ever want you to forget it. Because there's always a danger. Once you start feeling that power of God, when you use your gift, that you think it's always going to be there, and you start losing that closet time. But you still keep going using the gift and keep going. And then you start detaching yourself from the vine. That's why those pastors, evangelists that were so famous fell. You remember in the 80s, and televangelists, one after the other, fall. Why? Because they saw the gift, they used the gift, they were connected to the vine, they got excited and they said, I'm going to use this gift, awesome, and I'm going to do it my way. And they began to detach themselves from the vine, and next thing you know, boom, it all fell. So as you begin to get your gifting and you start moving, don't always check yourself. In your daily walk, always check yourself. Always, am I connected to the vine? Because you start taking that gift without the power of God behind you and you start manufacturing it yourself, it's just going to crash and burn. And it's never nice. It's never pleasant. Ask Samson, right? That's a perfect example of that. Samson decided he was going to do it his way. The gifting, the power of God kept coming. And he's just got himself detached from the closet, detached from this relationship, and it crashed and burned. All right, so that's why that number one is just—it's the base, it's the foundation, it's where everything starts. All right, so this is the four things that we've built in these classes, and this is what you are saying. Been going through these weeks. You are saying that you are willing to go through this process of denying self. Right? As painful as that's going to be, you've already made a decision that my own will without God is destruction. It's enmity against God. I need to be in God's will. I need to deny self. You are willing to go through that process. None of you are there. None of us are there. Right? Because that's Jesus, right? Remember when you did the gauges? If you were there, all of you would have put 100%. Right? Those gauges we did the first 2 weeks. So you're willing. And number two, you're willing to ask the question, this is God's will and my will. This is another way of being honest right here in your heart. Because not everything that seems good is God's will. How do I know? You learn to hear His voice. You learn to hear confirmation. You learn to ask people in leadership, right? Pastors. You learn to not make decisions without your closet time, without asking Him. You got to be willing to do that, to ask the question. Because a lot of times we think, this is a good decision. I love this decision in my life. I love it. God, follow me. Not always. Not every good decision is God's decision. So you're willing to go through that, to ask your own heart that question. And that requires pride to die. Notice I didn't say that you've already gotten there, right? You are willing to ask. You are willing to go through the process. And it is a process. And I want to emphasize that a lot, over and over, because many times Christians look at each other and judge people based on what they see. That's not what God sees. God sees hearts that are surrendered. God sees hearts. So there are people that are struggling with an addiction or something, and God and we can judge them, but if their heart is surrendered to God and they're asking God to empower them to change them, then who are we to judge, right? But that's the thing. You can't make excuses, right? If you're working through some of these things in your life, keep going to the cross. Keep asking God to forgive you, to empower you, to overcome, because that is not acceptable, right? Jesus never accepted sin as, oh, okay, for you it's okay. No. But God said, you are more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you, right? So you will conquer in His name. You will. Number three, I'm willing to use my spiritual gift for God. So it's one thing to be willing to deny self and ask God, is this your will? And then you have a spiritual gift. Now, are you willing to use them? And you're saying, okay, I'm willing to use them. Okay. How do I get started? What kind of commitment do I have to make? That's what you need to start asking yourself. And number four, this week is about you're willing to do the work of service ministry. In other words, here I am. Use me, Lord. You're willing to just be used by God. All right? So if you read those there and you're like, okay, I'm in it, then you're on to something bigger than yourself. You're on to something powerful. You're on to something that's life-changing. You're on to something that many Christians haven't figured out. I'm going to say that again because it is truth. You get asked this and you begin to live this, you are on to something that many, many Christians haven't figured out. And they're in the wilderness wondering, what's going on? This is teaching that when we grasp it and live it, people long to understand this peace and joy, knowing that you're in God's perfect will. Not that you're perfect. See, a lot of people think that they're not in God's perfect will if they're not perfect. That's so wrong. You're in God's perfect will as long as you're on that journey to be perfected. Right? He'll empower you. So, that's the statement that we're making in this class. So let's finish this off. You will never know your full potential until you step out of the boat and do the work. The four-letter word. Turn to, let's finish this before we turn to Colossians 3:23. You will never know your full potential until you do the work. The work of service ministry will not be, anybody know? Easy. Thank you, Felix. Good job. Will not be easy. It will not be easy. Expect the enemy to bring distractions. There's some of you in here that are going to come out of this and, okay, Lord, okay, what? And let me just warn you now. The enemy will distract. Because anytime you begin to make an impact for the kingdom of God, the enemy will put some resistance. But don't fear. Don't worry. As a matter of fact, when it comes, you're like, I was expecting this. Right? And enemy, you're defeated. Greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. He's going to make me, I'm going to rise above this because I know what my foundation is. And I will never, God will not suffer His righteous to be moved. So you can be stand still. So that's why the Bible says consider the cost, right? And that's part of it. But believe me, the rewards are overwhelming. You will find the power behind your gift where? In the closet. That means I did a good job on the first part because you guys had all the answers by the time I got to the underline. You will find the power behind your gift in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times, even pastors are guilty of this. We want more people to work and serve and do. And a lot of sermons around that. And the truth is that stuff is great. But let's never forget the most important thing is that relationship with Jesus Christ. That's just the most important thing. And there's so much peace there. There's so much power there. And that's where it is. That's where it is. All right. So two scriptures and then we're done. We're going to move on to where God leads us today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Does anybody have a different version? You can read the other version after I finish because I like to hear. If you have another version, get ready to read it. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So someone else read another version. Go ahead, Ines. So work hard and cheerfully in all you do as if you were working for the Lord. And what was the last part? Rather than people. So no matter what it is you're doing, you do it with your best intentions, right? It may not even be a church thing or a service thing. It may be you committed to do something, you do it like you're doing it to God. No matter what it is. No matter what it is. Everything you do, do knowing God is with you and do it for Him and do the work, right? Last scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. The very first year we went, I don't know if Michelle was there that year, the very first year we went to Palacios, a camp in near Galveston. It was only like 39 of us there. Lloyd was there probably. It was a very small camp. But they spoke on this, and I never forgot that. There was something about it. So I remember it to this day. So whenever that happens, you know there was something special about it. But I visualized it, and I want to kind of try to read it and help you visualize this. So Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So Isaiah is in a situation where he's in God's presence, And he comes to realize that he is so unworthy because he's unclean. And not only is he unclean, but his people are, the people around him are even worse. He's not worthy to be in this situation. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. So this seraphim comes and gets live coal, hot burning coal, right? Like barbecue, right? It's hot. It's very hot. And he gets that with some thongs, right? And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. So just visualize that, right? Here he is in God's presence. He feels so unworthy, unclean. This angel comes and says, this right here, what you're about to see and witness, is what's going on. Because of your heart, when I touch your lips, it's going to symbolize that your iniquity is all gone and you're clean. Beautiful representation, right, of what happens to us when we surrender our life to God. But I love this next verse. So also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah sits there, realizes he's so unworthy, and yet God still forgives them and cleans them. And he's basically accused of nothing for all his sins. So Isaiah says then, send me. And that's what we want the Holy Spirit to speak to us today. Send me. It's me. I got gifts. I'm willing. What am I going to do? Lord, I don't know, but I'm willing. What is God going to commit me? I don't know, but I'm willing. And we do it for the sake of service. But the blessings of God are overflowing to His people who surrender all. They're overflowing. They're overflowing. See, I sometimes hesitate to talk about that part, but it is so real because my personality is I don't want to serve the Lord just to get. Right? Because sometimes when you focus on the blessing so much, it's all about, what can I get, Lord? What can I get? But just because I don't focus on that as much as maybe some would like, doesn't mean I totally believe. His blessings are overwhelming for the people who say, Lord, here am I, send me. You know, when I was young, I remember a few things in life, and my life could have gone in any direction, and I didn't have a father figure. I didn't have a good upbringing as far as guidance at all. And I remember, I have some memories when I was about the fourth or fifth grade. I remember looking out the classroom window. We didn't have air condition in those days. I remember the fan running. I remember looking out the window and I remember thinking, I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home. How can I stay here longer? Because of the domestic violence in my house. I remember thinking, you know, these thoughts. At that age, can you imagine? There's many stories out there worse, right? I remember being in a situation where domestic violence was very dangerous in our house. I remember in a situation one time when one of my stepfathers, there was a fight. I was young. I was probably 10, 11. I don't remember. and argument. Everybody get in the car. We all got in the car. We're going north on Valverde or north near 107. I don't know. Going north. And I remember my brother, you know, he knew better than me that this didn't seem safe. We didn't know where we were going. They were arguing. And I remember when the car stopped on 107, he took the thing, put it on park, grabbed the keys. Fortunately, the stepfather was drunk, so he didn't catch what was going on fast enough. And we all got out of the car, ran, went to the neighbor, help. And all these memories I have, and I'm only telling, and I don't think I've shared these very often with anybody. I'm sharing all these memories because during all that time, God was with us, and when I began to put God first in my life, you know, you hear a lot of stories like that, and things don't work out very well as far as the children, you know, they rebel and so forth. But I remember just thinking, if I read my Bible and I pray every day, I'm going to grow. That's the only thing I knew that I could understand, because in Sunday school, that's what they sang. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. That's how important Sunday school is in these situations. And I said, okay, and I put it to practice. And next thing I knew, God, it wasn't easy, but I just knew there was something better. One thing happened. Here we are almost 30 years later. His blessings are overflowing. They're unmeasurable. And I haven't been perfect every step of the way, but I know that when we begin to do His work and His will, He will chart your course, and you'll be at peace, and you'll be in that perfect will, and it's good. And that's worth it all, just to know that we're with Him, we're at peace. So no matter what your story has been, and we have some teenagers here too, and some younger adults here, and no matter what, it's good. All of this stuff, am I willing to die, deny self? Trust me, it's a no-brainer. It's worth it all. He'll begin to bless you bountifully. He'll begin to bless you. I'm going to open up for a little discussion. We're going to close and pray. I just want to hear any thoughts about service ministry. What's happening to you? Amen. Yeah, I came to remembrance. Yeah. Amen. It is. I like what you said. Without that, it is just a show. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Anybody else want to add to that? Yes, Felix, go ahead. I had a Sure. You use your gift of faith. We see you growing, Felix. And number two on your list was faith, your gifts. You just displayed it right there. You just displayed that gift, empowered by God. So that was awesome just to witness that in action. Rose was first, and then somebody else had their hand up. Go ahead, Venus. Go ahead, Rose. No, Ines, next up. She's a little softer spoken, and I can hear the AC, so I'm getting ready. Sorry, Rose, go ahead. He was using his gift of prophecy. Amen. Right. And that comes from surrender. That only comes from surrender. So whatever it is, you know, you're surrendering things and you're giving. It's like giving up, saying, Lord, I'm not going to try. It's easy to say the words. It's another thing to really be living that. And God starts opening your eyes to so much more. So I think you're hitting something there that denying self, His will, all of that, He just starts opening your eyes. So, but well, before time gets away, Inez, go ahead. Thank you, Rose. Oh, a little light. There it is.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
I was listening to Felix, you know, my heart really goes out to people, like young people, you know, like Felix and Jose, Eloy, you know. People, my heart goes out to them, you know, because the Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, they said, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. You know, remember your Creator in the years of your youth, in the days of your youth. Before those days come, you know, like when you get older, you're never going to find not a pleasure getting old. It's not very pleasing to get old. But, you know, I always try to encourage young people, you know, to really, you know, do exploits for God.
Amen. They're the future.
While you're young. And I can see you're growing.
Amen.
And Jose, you're all growing. And God's going to do mighty things to you guys, you know. I was, you know, one of the things that God has taught me is to share the Word of God with whenever possible. You know, sometimes I go walking at the park. And once I go with my sister Maria and my brother Joe, and this day, you know, none of them went with me, so I went by myself. And as I was walking along, there was this lady ahead of me, and God said, walk faster, catch up with her. You know, He told me that. Okay, Lord, I'm going as fast as I know how, but she's walking faster than I can. I caught up with her. Somehow, miraculously, I caught up with her. And I started talking. You know, when I start talking, I can't stop.
That's called the gift of the gab.
And I can't stop, you know. And I start pouring myself out. I can't stop it. You know, it's like something inside of me that comes out that I have no control of. And I can't stop the Word of God. I keep sharing the Word of God. I love to share the Word of God. There's one thing that's inside of me. I keep to come out. Like the prophet said, if these words are in me, and if I don't speak them out, they'll burn me up.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to speak out. And this morning I was sharing a scripture with this guy that knocked at my door. And I also shared with him. I shared with my brothers and my sister first, and then I shared with him. And it says in Joshua 1:8, I think it's Joshua 1:8, never let this word of the Lord depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night.
Amen.
So that you will put it into practice in your life.
Amen.
And then you will make your way a success.
Amen.
And the Lord said, share that with word. I know how to share it more in Spanish than in English. It doesn't come out right in English, but in Spanish, I know. It's very hard for me because I have to. When I was working at John Knox, I had to learn the scriptures in English because there were English-speaking people. And I was, I know the scriptures.
And I need to learn more Spanish because exactly. We're ministering to a lot of Spanish-speaking people.
Exactly. And I had to learn how to sing in English.
Ronnie and
Spanish
I had a conversation
was,
about that not so long ago.
People. You know, and that's all we're here to do. Their ministry is to share the love of Christ.
Yeah.
That's our message. We're messengers.
Amen.
We have a message to carry on.
Amen. So what gift is Inez using when she quotes scriptures to people? Knowledge, right? Gift of knowledge. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have another handout. Now, if anybody wants to say something while we're handing out, that's okay. Go ahead. One more. Say anything? Want to share? The AC is on, so.
Sorry. How she was talking about my my cousin, and they got into town last week, and on Friday we were able to have dinner with them because we went to dinner for my birthday, and I had no idea that he was losing his eyesight. And I remember driving home after we had dinner thinking, oh man, like what a shame that he's losing his eyesight. He's such a man of God and just always looking to minister to people and everything. And I remember just thinking like how sad. And then Sunday we're coming back from our family get together, and Joseph had some time where he was talking with him, and he mentioned the same thing that he said as soon as he walked in, that he could just feel the presence of God and the Holy Spirit just very strongly, and he spoke with them, and they had some time that they were, you know, just talking, and he was so encouraged by him that everything, that even losing his eyesight and everything, that he gets so much out of worshiping God, that even though these things in his life that have come towards him and tried to get in his way, like he still has worshiping God and spending that time with God and everything. And so it doesn't matter. We're all called to ministry, and we will continue it until our last day here, to our last breath, because it doesn't matter whether you're blind, whether, you know, you're even mute, you can still raise your hands and worship God. And so your ministry is going forward until the day that you die, until the day that you're up worshiping with God. But it doesn't matter if they take your eyesight or whatever, you can still minister to people.
Amen. It's just amazing. I mean, my Sunday school teacher, very similar, no matter what was going on, she just got stronger. Life was, she just kept getting stronger in the Lord. That's how I want to be remembered when we get older, right? Ines is just getting stronger and stronger. She's like, oh, it's not fun getting older, but we see a jewel in you, Ines. We see a jewel. We see wisdom. We can learn. So it's amazing. So let's serve. Right? Why did I write no more delay? On Sunday I spoke, you can delay the promised land, right? The calling. You can, young people, you're like, oh, let me just kind of delay this a little bit and do my own thing for a little longer because I might have more fun or enjoy life more that way. Right? We were young once, we thought the same thing, right? Young, right? Older people. But the truth is, no more delay, because the enemy wants you to delay for, he doesn't want you to impact people, and he doesn't want you to figure this thing out, because there's a lot of victory there, a lot of him being defeated there. So young people, middle-aged, younger, young adults, no more delay. I mean, we're going to do this, right? And it's going to manifest itself in different ways. So here are some opportunities. You know, you just went through the class. If there's anybody, and I don't want anybody to feel like you have to do something. And please, you know, you're missing my whole point, right? If you, it's something that you have to do from your own heart, not because the pastor gave a convincing speech or motivational thing. But what you begin to do, and not remember, not everything that you start doing for the Lord is exactly what you love to do. Right? Like I tell college kids all the time, that first job you get may be flipping burgers even after you get your bachelor's degree. What? Well, you know what? I did that. I got a degree and I had to go flip burgers. And then I got a year of experience, and then everybody wanted to hire me. So that was once you got experience, everybody wanted to hire me, but I had no experience. But Norma, real quick. Yes. Yeah. Words of wisdom. So true. So let's read through some of these and put your name on it. If you want to check some off, give it to me. If you don't, that's fine. But I'm beginning to get ready for a lot of things. So if you want to check more than one off here, that's fine. But let me just go through the ways to serve. Serve by providing a room. The pastor that's coming from Duncanville is over 60 years old and doesn't want to sleep in the bunk beds, which I understand. Those are for the kids. So we might have to put him up in a room. But if anybody has an extra room and you're hospitable and you don't mind having for the week that they're here, that would be nice. If not, we'll find something for him. But there's an opportunity to serve. Nobody has to. Don't worry. We'll figure it out. But there's an opportunity there to help Pastor Osborne. He's the pastor that's bringing this group down to do the outreach for us. So there's one. Serve by planning and organizing all meals for our guests. This is like an administrative kind of role. This group is coming down, and the pastor is not going to be running around making sure all the meals are cooked. And, you know, I need somebody to just say, I'll take care of that. You'll have to work with Pastor Green because he's got some food over there, canned goods and stuff, refried beans and tostadas. That would be a nice one to make, right? But this thing is happening in less than a month, and those are the dates. You know, June 20. When is the dates? June 20. Oh, there it says 23 to 29. So, hey, if you're like, you know what, I'll be available that week. I'll commit to that. That'll be good. Now, just because you put it down doesn't mean, you know, it's just if you're willing to serve, we'll see what happens. Serve by cooking. We're gonna need some help, right? Breakfast, lunch, dinner. We're gonna take care of our guests. We want to take care of them. We want to honor what they're doing. They're coming a long way. We want to honor what they're doing. They're coming. Their intent is just come and bless the community on behalf of our church. That's what they're doing out of their own hearts. So so if you can serve by cooking while they're here, we'll organize some of that. And if you can do more than one and do everything, that's fine. But serve by making sure bottled water is available for all activities during the week. Once again, I had this vision of me making sure there was water at the colonia, making sure there was water. Pastor's going to run around. No, I'm learning. Pastor Green gave me a Superman when I started pastoring. He says, "You're not Superman." So I'm trying to delegate as much as I can. So we would just need a person to make sure there's water all over the place, right? And whether it's the outreach, whether it's here, when they're here, when we go to the beach, which we're going to the beach with them on Wednesday, just so that they can have a great time after they do all the serving with the VBS and all of that. Yes? On Wednesday? I don't know the exact timing yet. Probably won't be all day, probably morning. For the beach? Oh, you want to volunteer for that one? Is that what you say? So. Okay. Yeah, just let me know and then we'll put it all together. Serve by planning and organizing the shoe measurement activity. This is like an administrative role. Like Alyssa normally does this, and you know she'll do it again. That's not a problem. But if somebody wants to be like, no, being an administrator is, you know, it's responsibility, right? If things crash and burn, it's not going to be the pastor's fault, right? It falls on you. So these are things. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Or yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, it won't be too early. Probably around about 8:30, something like that. So that's about the time it will be. All right. Serve by organizing an ice cream welcome. When they come here on Friday, we want to welcome them. We're going to have ice cream for them. And that might be a little later because I don't know exactly what time they're leaving and getting here. That's up to still kind of figuring that out. But if anybody's willing to just organize that, that would be great. served by organizing snacks for 3 nights of VBS. So we're going to be doing VBS. We're going to need to feed every VBS. We give hot dogs, nachos, stuff like that, easy to make. Somebody to organize that. By organizing doesn't mean you have to make everything, right? It just means that you make sure it gets done, right? So you can get volunteers to help or whatever. So that's another possibility. Serve by just showing up. Hey, these people are coming to help us. If you don't, you know, if you just show up and hang out, make new friends, talk to people, you'll be amazed how God will work in those things. He will. About 10 teenagers and 4 adults. So the more we can get our teenagers to just be with them, like a little camp, that'd be great. So we don't know how that will work with some of our youth, but that's what's coming. About 10 teenagers and about 3 to 5 adults. Serve by showing up. All right. As far as the church itself, there's some stuff that, you know, if you just want to participate in some of this stuff, like I said, none of this is concrete. If you check it, it doesn't mean I'm going to call you tomorrow and say, now you got to do this. It's going to be kind of, I'll pray about it, think about where we're doing, where we're headed, planning, and then delegate accordingly. But there's always serve by greeting visitors entering church service. But if you're going to do that, you got to be here like 10:30, right? But it'll be nice. Wouldn't it be nice to have teenagers up there at 10:30 welcoming people? Wouldn't that be nice? Where's Casey? Is she hiding in the back over there? You can come back over here. Yeah. We're not recording anymore, are we? Okay. Serve the children in the church, right? Sunday school.